content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is All About Pets. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the New York Times, Catster.com, and Dogster Magazine. We'll begin today's program with an article from the New York Times titled, Your Cat Might Not Be Ignoring You When You Speak, by Anthony Hamm. Cats have a reputation for being aloof, but a new study has found that their relationships with their owners may be stronger than we thought. Every cat owner has a story to tell of being blanked by their cat. We call to our cat, it turns away, and some of us are left wondering why we don't get a dog. But your cat may be listening after all. More than that, it cares more than you may think. A study by French researchers that was published last month in the journal Animal Cognition found that not only do cats react to what scientists call cat-directed speech, a high-pitched voice similar to how we talk to babies, they react to who is doing the talking. We found that when cats heard their owners using a high-pitched voice, they reacted more than when they heard their owner speaking normally to another human adult, said Charlotte de Mouzon, an author of the study and a cat behavior expert at the Université Paris Nanterre. But what was very surprising in our results was that it actually didn't work when it came from a stranger's voice. Unlike with dogs, cat behavior is difficult to study, which is part of why humans understand them less. Cats are often so stressed by being in a lab that meaningful behavioral observations become impossible. And forget about trying to get a cat to sit still for an MRI scan to study its brain function. So the researchers for the latest study went to the cats' homes and played recordings of different types of speech in different speakers. At first, Dr. de Mouzon and her team were worried that the cats weren't reacting at all, but then they studied film recordings of the encounters. Their reactions were very subtle, Dr. de Mouzon said. It could be just moving an ear or turning the head towards the speaker or even freezing what they were doing. In a few cases, the cats in the study would approach the speaker playing a voice and meow. In the end, we had really clear gains in the cat's attention when the owner was using cat-directed speech, Dr. de Mouzon said. The findings showed that cats are paying close attention to their caretakers, down to not only what they are saying, but how they are saying it, said Kristen Vital, an assistant professor of animal health and behavior at Unity College in Maine, who was not involved in the new study. The new study complements Dr. Vital's own research into relationships between a cat and its owner. This relationship is so important, Dr. Vital's research has found, that it replicates the connection between a kitten and its mother. It is possible that the attachment behaviors originally intended for interactions with their mother have now been modified for interactions with their new caretakers, humans. Unlike dogs, most cats actually prefer human interaction over other rewards like food or toys, Dr. Vital said. Genetics may also play a role in why dogs are easier to study and are assumed to be friendlier. Dogs were artificially selected hundreds of thousands of years ago, based precisely on their capacity to be trained, whether as sheepdogs, hunting dogs, or something else. Sarah Jeannin, a dog behavior expert at the Université Paris Nanterre, who was not involved in this study. Dr. Jeannin disputed the stereotypes that dogs are closer to humans than cats. People say that dogs are a man's best friend, that you can trust them, and that they are very loyal. But we don't know what dogs actually think, she said. It's really just prediction by us that dogs are in love with us. For years, scientists didn't ask the right questions about cats, Dr. de Mouzon said. Now, those who are convinced of the perfidy of cats won't like the answers that are emerging. Cats don't hate us after all, Dr. Vital said. adding that a growing body of work supports the idea that social interaction with humans is key in the life of a cat. According to Dr. de Mouzon, just because cats react in subtle ways doesn't mean they are aloof. Cats don't do what you expect them to do. But if cats don't come when we call them, it may be because they're busy doing something else or they are resting, she said. People have these kinds of expectations because when you call a dog, the dog will come. But if you call a human when they are having a nap at the other end of the house, would you go? So tied to that previous article, I thought it would be interesting to read an article in the cat behavior section of catster.com titled Why Do Cats Move Their Ears Around? By Susan Logan McCracken. One talent felines possess is the ability to move their ears independently. But why do they do this? One talent felines possess is the ability to move their ears independently. Although recent research shows that humans move their ears slightly when a sound piques their interest, only 1 in 5 people can move their ears intentionally. For most people, the movement is involuntary. That ability may take the person, a YouTube star, or the life of the party, but it doesn't come close to the way cats swivel their ears. But why do they do this? Pinpoint sounds. One of the reasons cats move their ears is to pinpoint and identify what they are hearing. By moving their ears towards the sound's direction, cats improve their hearing by 15 to 20%. More than 30 muscles are involved in moving a cat's ear, which can swivel 180 degrees. With a frequency range of 45 Hz to 64,000 Hz, cats not only have the broadest frequency range when compared to dogs, rabbits, and humans, but they can hear higher and lower frequencies than all of them. In comparison, dogs use 18 muscles to move their ears and can hear from 67 Hz to 45,000 Hz. Rabbits can swivel their ears 270 degrees, rotate them independently of each other, and simultaneously listen to sounds coming from two different sources. Rabbits' ear talent supersedes that of dogs and cats in some respects, although their range of hearing is narrower, falling between 360 and 42,000 Hz. Humans have similar hearing ability to dogs at lower frequencies, but at higher frequencies, dogs, cats, and rabbits prevail. The human range of hearing frequencies is 64 to 23,000 Hz. Communicate feelings. Cats' ears are also an important part of their body language to express emotion. When a cat's ears are pointing forward, he's typically content. Contentment is also signaled by an erect tail that's slightly curved at the top, along with head bumps and purring. Cats welcome affection and attention when they are in this mood. When their ears are pointing straight up and accompanied by wide open eyes and an alert stance, something they hear has their attention. If they rotate their ears quickly, something may have triggered their hunting instincts. This is a good time to get out their favorite interactive toy. Ears pointing sideways show fear that could lead to aggression. Give your cat space when his ears are in this position. Flattened ears pointing backward indicate a cat who is about to attack, bite, or scratch. These are two ear positions which can be accompanied by aggressive or defensive body language, indicating that your cat needs to be left alone. Signals of aggression include arched back, low and stiff tail, direct stare, hissing, and growling. Signals of fear include crouching, tail curved around the body, hair standing on end, hissing, and spitting. Similar to this position, when a cat's ears are low and facing outward, she might not be feeling well. Cats are good at faking that everything is okay, but sometimes their ears betray them, so pay attention to the position of the ears and their body language. Cats often hide when they're not feeling well. Because these ear positions may be similar, keep an eye on your cat's body language, vocalizations, and other behaviors. Cat ears, along with their vocalizations and other body language, are prolific communicators. Their sense of hearing, in addition to other heightened senses and numerous talents, make them an impressive species that honor us with their companionship. Next, we'll move on to cat health care. What to do about unexplained hair loss by Dr. Arnold Plotnick. For feline lovers and enthusiasts, cat hair is a fact of life. There are countless t-shirts and mugs with cute sayings like, everything tastes better with cat hair in it. And no outfit is complete without cat hair. Yes, cats shed, but it's a small price to pay for the love and happiness they bring us. When cats shed normally, their coat appears just fine. However, if your cat is looking a little on the bald side, there may be something going on besides normal shedding. What causes hair loss? The medical term for hair loss is alopecia, and it's a common problem in cats. Feline alopecia can be divided into two broad categories, spontaneous and self-induced. Spontaneous hair loss means that the hair is falling out, which is often a result of systemic diseases, most notably glandular disorders like an underactive thyroid or overactive adrenal glands. Self-induced is from cats who lick, bite, or pull their hair out. This is often because either their skin is itchy or for psychological reasons. Why cats have itchy skin? There is no shortage of causes of itchy skin in cats. Skin parasites, infections, bacterial or fungal, and allergies are common conditions. Although cats get lice and mite infestations of their skin, this is an infrequent problem. Here are some of the most common conditions and how to treat them. Fleas. By far, the most common itch-inducing and hair loss-producing feline skin parasite is the pesky flea. Flea infestation is diagnosed by carefully inspecting the skin. Live fleas can often be seen when the hair is parted. Sometimes if you turn a cat over on its back, you might see one or two fleas scurrying across the abdomen. In many cases, live fleas aren't detected. However, multiple brown specks of flea dirt, the polite veterinary term for flea poop, is noted during the exam. A hair coat containing flea dirt has the appearance as if someone sprinkled pepper on the cat and is a telltale sign that fleas are an issue. Treatment. Flea infestation is easily remedied with a once-a-month topical flea control product. The best, most reliable products are obtained through your veterinarian. Flea allergy. Some cats are allergic to flea bites, specifically to the saliva that the flea injects into the skin as it bites. Even if fleas and/or flea dirt aren't detected, flea allergy might be the culprit, as it only takes a single flea bite to produce an intense reaction in some allergic cats. Treatment. Besides monthly topical treatment, a short course of oral corticosteroids or antihistamines may be warranted in cats with concurrent inflammation and itching. Ringworm. The most common infectious skin disease in cats. Any age, sex, or breed may be affected, although young cats, older cats, and long-haired cats are more frequently affected. Ringworm varies in its ability to induce itching. Some cats with ringworm don't seem to be uncomfortable, while others scratch and lick at their hair constantly, resulting in self-inflicted hair loss. Ringworm is a zoonotic disease, meaning that it can be transmitted to humans. If your cat has a circular, crusty skin rash and you have a similar rash, it's likely that ringworm is the culprit. I had a client who went to the doctor because of a skin rash just above her upper lip. Her doctor asked if she kisses her cat. Of course I kiss my cat, she says. Well, you have ringworm and you might want to get your cat checked. Sure enough, her Persian kitten did have ringworm. Treatment. Ringworm treatment options vary depending on the situation. An individual cat versus cattery or multiple cat household, long-haired cats versus short-haired cats, etc. That may involve some combination of clipping the coat, topical therapy, oral medication, and environmental decontamination. Treatment is often successful if clients are diligent about following the prescribed protocols. There's no denying it, ringworm treatment can be a major nuisance. Food allergies. Adverse reactions to food may manifest themselves via the skin. You may see severe generalized itching, little scabs and crusts through the hair coat called miliary dermatitis. Itching around the head, neck, ears, and face, self-inflicted loss due to over-grooming. A food allergy may show up first in the skin as small red spots, which can turn into scabby or crusty sores that become infected as the cat rubs or scratches them. Itching around the head and face is common. However, there are many cats whose only sign of food allergy is self-induced hair loss. Dietary elimination trials in which the cat is fed a diet containing a protein source he hasn't encountered before are necessary to obtain a definitive diagnosis. Your veterinarian office likely sells these specialized hypoallergenic diets. These trials require patience on the part of the owner, as it may take anywhere from 3 to 12 weeks before you see improvement. Sometimes it's time to see a specialist. Even an experienced cat veterinarian occasionally fails to achieve a diagnosis, or more frustratingly, they achieve a diagnosis but the cat does not respond to therapy. In these cases, it may be necessary to seek out a true expert, a veterinary dermatologist. In these days of specialization, veterinarians have access to a variety of experts, and most general practitioners can refer their challenging skin conditions to a nearby board-certified or qualified dermatologist. So your veterinarian can refer you to a veterinary dermatologist, or you can find one at the website American College of Veterinary Dermatology at acvd.org. Now we'll move on to Dogster Magazine. We'll start from the training and behavior section with an article titled Rescue Rule 333 by Debbie DeSantis. The 333 rule explains what you need to know about the adjustment period in the first 3 days, 3 weeks, and 3 months after adopting a rescue dog. Understanding what to expect and how to help your rescue adjust leads to a smoother transition and a happier home. What to expect the first 3 days. Your new companion needs some time to decompress. He probably feels unsure of what's expected of him and is stressed. He may feel overwhelmed, be scared and unsure of what's going on around him, not be comfortable enough to be himself, not want to eat and drink, shut down and curl up in a safe area, such as in a crate or under furniture, and sleep a lot, have diarrhea from stress or dietary changes, test his boundaries. The first 3 weeks. During this time, your new addition starts to feel relaxed and his true personality emerges. He may start to settle in, feel more comfortable, realize this is now his forever home. Figure out his environment, establish a routine, let his guard down and start to show his true personality. Reveal any ingrained behavior problems. The first 3 months. This is the period when your adopted dog's true personality and temperament are displayed. It's a great time to bond with him. He may be completely comfortable in his new home, start to trust and build a bond with you, gain a sense of security with his new family, settle into and embrace his new routine. Tips to help the transition. Each dog is an individual, and depending on his background, may take longer than expected to acclimate to a new life. Let him progress at his own pace. Generally, puppies adapt more easily than adults do because they are like blank slates, learning new things and being exposed to new environments. Older and shyer dogs usually adjust more slowly. Keep these 4 tips in mind. 1. Set up a safe space away from commotion, such as a spare bedroom or a laundry room. Create a welcoming area with a cozy bed and crate. 2. Establish a routine so that your new companion will know what is to expect from and feel confident in his new world. He needs regular feedings, exercise, play, and training. 3. Use positive reinforcement and speak calmly when getting to know him. 4. Have patience. Introduce him slowly over time to his new environment and family. The 333 rule establishes milestones that help predict what your new canine addition may be experiencing. By understanding what occurs during these 3 periods, you'll be able to help him adjust to his new world. With patience, planning, and routines, the bond with your rescued pup will blossom and you'll have great adventures to come and memories to make. Next, we'll move on to an article titled Time for Doggy Daycare by Karen Hendricks. Going back to the office, we've got tips for finding a daycare that's sure to be a howling success. Thinking about dog boarding during your workday? The suggestion might make you feel guilty, but dog daycare can be fun, even enriching for both you and your pup. How will you know if your dog likes daycare? As one of our experts says, you'll know because your dog will never lie to you. Does my dog need daycare? Ask yourself, do you have time every 2 hours to give your dog attention? If you're one of the millions of Americans who adopted a dog during the pandemic amid the work-from-home lifestyle, your dog might be used to having lots of quality time with his people. If you're still working from home, are you interacting with your pet every 2 hours by taking a short walk together, enjoying a tummy rub, or romping in the backyard? If you honestly can't devote those pockets of quality time to your dog, and no judgment if you can't, work happens. Or if you're returning to an office job, then doggy daycare may be a great solution. That's according to Carmen Rustenbeck, CEO and founder of the International Boarding and Pet Services Association, IBPSA. Carmen advises pet owners not to feel guilty because there are lots of silver linings for both you and your dog. Doggy daycare is a facility where the staff takes care of your dog either for a few hours or a day or for a longer period of time, like boarding your dog when you go on vacation. Dog boarding has been around for many years, but dog daycare has taken off with the increase of dog ownership among working families. Finding the right match. Crowdsourcing is your first step, Carmen says. Simply ask your friends and family for their best recommendations. Next, drive past each daycare to evaluate curb appeal. Carmen says to approach this like a real estate search. Does the facility look clean and well-maintained? If the answer is yes, call to schedule a visit. Expect the dog boarding facility to require your pet's proof of vaccinations and your vet's contact info. But Carmen reminds dog owners that Bordetella kennel cough changes, just like strains of flu in humans. Therefore, the Bordetella vaccine cannot guarantee your dog's complete protection, but the likelihood of him getting sick is decreased. Dog daycare and boarding as an industry has grown exponentially in recent years. But in many countries, including the United States and Canada, pet boarding and daycare is not regulated. Carmen advises pet owners to research whether local, city, or state regulations are in place. Facilities that belong to IBPSA agree to adhere to the industry's best practices as part of their membership. If you are happy and satisfied with all the answers you receive, ask to schedule a dog boarding test visit with your dog. A test visit can last just a few hours or one overnight stay, but it's important to keep it short to assess both how your dog does and how satisfied you are with the experience. Before finalizing your choice, make sure you sniff out any red flags. Overall, does the facility feel safe and secure? A top question for geriatric dogs, is the floor slippery? Are there places where you can imagine your dog putting his nose, and do they look unsafe? If you're uneasy about any of the answers to these questions, these may be red flags. Speaking of noses, make sure to use yours. There shouldn't be any unpleasant odors, Carmen says. Do the dogs seem overscheduled? Nap time is vital. Carmen says her dog daycare provider turns down the lights and plays classical music between noon and 3 p.m. During that time, no dog pickups are allowed, which literally lets all sleeping dogs lie. And don't forget to check out the extras. The list of services offered by dog daycare facilities is ever-growing. Here are a few options you may want to seek. Walks and exercise, alone or with other dogs, grooming, including baths, nail trims, and dog massage, games and socialization, enrichment, such as training and behavior modification. Ask if the trainers are certified. Are you and your dog ready? Most boarding facilities require a temperament test, Carmen says. This basically evaluates how well your dog tolerates and gets along with other dogs. This is especially vital during group activities, socialization, and playtime. But Carmen advises dog owners to also think about their own mindset. To set the tone for your dog, keep a positive, happy outlook while preparing your pup, driving, and arriving. This can go a long way in laying the groundwork for a positive experience, meeting both your and your dog's needs. Rescue dog Gigi goes to dog daycare twice a week, but her human, Lynn Anamasi, relies on two different dog boarding facilities in the Charlotte, North Carolina area because each facility has a slightly different strength. She prefers one daycare when the thunderstorms are forecasted because it's soundproof and even offers an app-based camera that lets Lynn keep a watchful eye on Gigi. The second facility is smaller with a more personal touch. Gigi is well-loved at both dog boarding facilities, where she enjoys baths and training. Ultimately, she says she values dog daycare because it provides her with a quiet work-from-home atmosphere as well as socialization for Gigi. An added perk, Lynn loves receiving cute playtime photos of Gigi. Trust your instincts as well as your dog's. Your dog won't lie to you. The experience shouldn't leave your pet exhausted. You'll know if your dog is happy, says Carmen, by his behavior and mood. Ideally, daycare should be a healthy break that refreshes both you and your faithful companion. As the saying goes, reunited and it feels so good. Your doggy daycare checklist. Paw through this list of questions before deciding which daycare is fab for Fido. When you walk through the front door, is the facility clean and inviting? Are the caregivers warm and welcoming? Can you imagine trusting them with your dog's care? What cleaning protocols are in place? Are the daycare providers trained in dog CPR and first aid? What happens if your dog gets injured or sick while he's there? The daycare should have procedures in place to handle emergencies. If you live in an area prone to special weather events, such as tornadoes or wildfires, ask whether the facility has an emergency plan. If you have more than one dog, does the facility offer daycare rooms where your pups can stay together? If your dog has special needs, can the facility accommodate them? Talk about your scheduling needs on a daily, weekly, and monthly basis, and think long term. Does the facility also offer overnight boarding for your upcoming vacations? Once your dog is comfortable with daycare, transitions to overnight boarding can be seamless. A word from the pros. On a typical day, Holiday House Pet Resort and Training Center welcomes about 85 dogs. Located in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, Holiday House is veterinarian owned. The distinction sets them apart and gives many dog owners peace of mind, says Cheryl Lindley, Holiday House's daycare and training program director. She's seen an increase in daycare demand since the pandemic, primarily because dog owners are recognizing their pets' needs for socialization amid or following shutdowns. Daycare options at Holiday House include group play in three categories called Adventurers, Explorers, and Trailblazers. Activities include pools, brain games, nature hikes, and agility skills. VIP daycare is available for dogs who aren't quite ready for the large group experiences or those who aren't yet spayed or neutered. The most rewarding part of offering daycare, Cheryl says, is building bonds with every dog. Even though she only has one dog at home, she considers herself lucky to have hundreds of dogs on the job. She especially loves gaining trust from puppies who are nervous when they first come in. Even adult dogs who are friendly and playful at home can take a while to come out of their shells at daycare. Cheryl says each dog needs time to process its introduction to daycare. And finally, we'll read WAGS, my favorite international dog rescue, Cartagena Paws. As the sun begins to rise over the historical seaside city of Cartagena, Colombia, American Maureen Catu begins preparing for her day. A slip leash, wet dog food wipes, and a small blanket are quickly stuffed into her bright green backpack, all essentials for an important day's work. It's during these morning hours that local free-ranging dogs roam the streets in search of food until the heat sends them into seclusion in search of shade. Searching for strays. On this June morning, Maureen and I arrive at the small village of La Boquilla, one of the poorest neighborhoods located on the northernmost point of Cartagena. Within a few minutes, we find what we're searching for. There's one, Maureen says. I follow as she makes her way down an embankment toward a brown female dog resting on an abandoned sofa. This adorable young medium-sized mixed breed has one raised ear and the other floppy. Cautiously wagging her tail, she allows Maureen to crouch down and approach her as she begins to roll on her back. Changing dogs' lives. Maureen launched her dog rescue organization, Cartagena Paws, in 2015. In addition to rescuing dogs from the streets, Maureen, an elementary school teacher, knows the importance of education and community outreach. She uses a partner organization, Buffalo Cares Animal Rescue, and prepares dogs for adoption in New Light. We've adopted over 50 dogs, says Paula Lavango Tatu, who founded the Buffalo Cares. Our fosters really take their time to find the right home for these wonderful Colombian dogs. If you want to find more information, you can go to cartagenapaws.com. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.